You know when you realize you don't know things? Kristen had that realization when her doctor mentioned cutting out red dye, which sent her down the research rabbit hole, and now she's here to share her findings. This episode, we're taking a look at the facts behind food dye additives, discussing the limited studies on dye-free diets and ADHD, declaring Twizzlers as the superior long red gummy candy, welcoming a horse girl into the family, debating the possibility of getting scooped up in a pelican's mouth pouch, and more.
They said that we'd grow out of it. Well, the joke's on them, that's just our brains. We're eccentric, loud, and stubborn. And most of our clothing is covered in stains. It's not a deficit of attention. There's just too much to think about. So if executive dysfunction becomes a little too much, if you forgot why you came in this room, or you're hypersensitive to touch, then put on your seamless socks and come join our little flock. Bitches stimming together, we're weirds of a feather. Weirds of a feather.
Ah!
Caw-caw!
All right.
Are you recording?
Yep.
Oh.
Blast off.
Welcome.
Oh.
To.
Wait.
Oh.
We gotta do some room sounds.
Oh, frig. Okay, room sounds.
Room sounds! All right, now go ahead. No.
I was holding my breath during room sounds.
It's 3 seconds.
That was more like 4.
Work on your lung capacity. Yeah, I'm the one watching the time. It's 3.
Welcome to Weirds of a Feather, an ADHD adjacent podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Stanhope.
And I'm your host, Grace Beret.
Welcome.
Welcome. I feel like we haven't recorded in so long, even though it's only been like 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks, but it's I've missed you
every
day.
2 weeks since you looked at me.
I've missed you every day since.
We just saw each other yesterday, but yes.
Yeah, we did. We did. We went to a little fair, an oddities fair. It was lovely.
A weird craft fair.
Real weird craft fair in a weird town.
A weird mall.
A mall from like 1998. It hasn't aged since.
Literally hasn't.
It just.
The bathroom was the weirdest place I've ever been in. One toilet was just flushing and flushing and
that
flushing and flushing.
That used to be the biggest mall in Maine before the main mall.
The Auburn Mall was?
Yeah. Before the main mall became the main mall.
Felt
that
like
was
a,
like the place to be.
Wow. I'd never been there before. It felt like an episode of Stranger Things. Felt like straight out of the 80s.
Yeah, because it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun though.
Lots
of bones.
Lots of bones, lots of things. Yeah, I'm glad you had some inspiration for your bone art.
I know. I got to work on my bone displays.
Yeah, I think you should. I'll help you.
Maybe get a booth for next year.
Ooh.
We'll see. I did just do my first commission job for a little girl's 8th birthday party. She was doing a Harry Potter themed birthday party, and her mom wanted some little bones.
Like, let's get some bones.
Yeah, she wants some little potions bottles that I put just glow in the dark paint and water in there and make little like colorful.
That's cool.
Glowing potion bottles, and then like tiny little bone displays. And I made 13 potion bottles, 12 little bone displays. And I guess the kids loved it. She was like, "Is that weird to send kids home with all these little bone jars?" I was like, "Yeah." It is weird, but in a good way.
They don't know that they're real bones.
They do.
Oh, okay.
I told them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
That's okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
My daughter liked it, and she
could be worse.
Is a little witchy herself, so I was like, yes.
Perfect.
It was a great opportunity to, you know, spread the witchiness. I love when little kids especially are like into my weird stuff. I'm like, yes, I got one.
Yeah. I think that's great.
I love a weird kid.
Yeah. Well, I have a warm-up question.
Lay it on me.
Are you feeling warm?
No, I could use a little warming up.
Okay. Well, this ties into what we're going to talk about today. My warm-up question is, Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers.
Yeah, same. Because we grew up on the East Coast.
Not a question.
But when you lived out in Oregon, were they like full-on Red Vine heavy?
Yeah.
I couldn't even find Twizzlers out there.
Yeah, they would have them at like teacher meetings. They would have these buckets of Red Vines.
Buckets.
They always have the
buckets of Red Vines.
Teachers would have them in their classrooms.
Yeah.
What is this
what
red
is
vine propaganda?
On? You know what? I don't mind red vines, but if I had a choice, I'd do Twizzlers.
You know what?
Any
I
day.
Love candy, and I'll pretty much always eat candy if it's available to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I, even then.
Even candy I don't like, I'm eating it.
And even then, I will usually leave a red vine. Like,
really?
I'll eat like one.
Really?
But it's just not, I don't know, the texture is all wrong
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, they're like stale Twizzlers is what they, the texture is like.
And you know what? I love a peel Twizzler.
Oh, yeah.
Like
those
the
are
strawberry
the best.
Peel ones. Those
the
are
strawberry
the best.
Strawberry peels, top-notch Twizzlers.
Those are my favorite Twizzlers.
Those are the best.
My second favorite is the ones you get for Halloween that are come in the individual wrappings, and they're like the flatter,
yeah.
regular Twizzlers.
They're a little bit.
But they're wide.
Squishier.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like those.
Those are great.
And then third, I like a regular Twizzler. I like the way they
you
break off.
Twizzler.
Yeah, but I would take any variation of Twizzler over red vine.
Yeah,
they're
I
just
completely
superior.
Agree. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, but there's something about the West Coast just loving red vines.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think they're they're good. Sure.
Yeah.
They're sweet.
They're fine.
But people are just nuts about
them. Yeah, they're really, really crazy. That's like their candy.
Yeah.
That and like the C's candies, the chocolates.
What?
Yeah.
What
C's. Like
C's?
S. How do you spell it? I don't know. But it's like a candy brand, like the assorted chocolates in the fancy assorted chocolates in the boxes, C's candies.
Oh, it's like a chocolate assortment.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got lots of those.
Yeah, they're like all about that and red vines.
Interesting.
For people who don't live in America, if you have access to both Twizzlers and red vines, I don't know if you do in your countries, but if you do, tell us which one you prefer.
Yeah. Also, maybe I'll just make a poll like Twizzlers or red vines and then where are you from?
Yeah.
I'll make a graph.
I bet it'll be pretty divided.
Yeah.
I just never, I don't think I'd ever even had a red vine before I moved out to the West Coast.
No,
I don't think they have them here.
Yeah. Well, you have to like find them. But the same with, but then on the West Coast, it's the same thing. They don't like, they're not like readily, Twizzlers aren't readily available on the West Coast. You have to like find them.
It's a travesty.
It's wild. And also, like, it was weird to me that, like, people were so passionate about red vines.
They're so passionate about red vines that it made me really passionate about Twizzlers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't get worked up until they would, like, talk about this red vine superiority. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Have you had a Twizzler?
I know.
And they're like, yeah, we don't like Twizzlers. And you're like, really? I just found that odd.
I know. I agree.
It's the superior red
long candy
gummy candy.
Yeah I agree.
That's how I would describe those.
I knew we were going to be on the same page for that one.
Okay, well, yeah, I know, but it's good to confirm.
Yes.
Confirmation bias.
Yeah, we're both from the
east
coast.
We're both from the east coast. We both grew up on Twizzlers,
but you know what, also we're correct.
Yeah,
there's one right answer and it's ours. Our opinion is right.
I'm glad you brought up the pull and peel strawberry because that was, oh.
Those are the best.
Those
I'll make
are
myself
the,
sick eating
yeah.
those.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a cheese stick, so it makes sense that it
sometimes,
translates to some kind of pull candy, you know?
Yeah. Just like sometimes how I accidentally swallow Swedish fish whole because I can't get enough of them.
Yes.
That sometimes normal thing. The worst is when you're trying to eat those pull and peels. And you don't chew it all the way. You just swallow it. And it's like halfway in your throat and halfway in your mouth. And you just have to like continue to dry swallow this like
or pull
string,
it out of your
or
throat.
Pull it out. Yeah, you have to make a decision. Like, am I pulling this out? Because that's uncomfortable.
Yep. It's always
or am
weird.
I going to try and like choke it down?
Either way is bad.
Yeah, it's worth it though because it's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I'll pull it out and then just eat it again.
Eat it again. Yeah. You
like
get
an
to
adult.
And enjoy it a second time.
Exactly. Should do that with all my food.
Right?
Yeah. God. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. You want to get into our little accomplishments?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Little accomplishments, but big in our hearts.
I almost said little plushes. I almost.
You didn't sound confident.
I wasn't.
You made me
I even
unsure
wrote
of myself.
On the script, little accomplishments instead of little plush.
Yep.
We got there.
We got there.
That's, we could redo it.
No. We've come too far. Let's just get going.
Grace.
Yeah.
What did you accomplish?
I have found my perfect breakfast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me.
Big moment in my life.
I've been searching for a good perfect breakfast.
I've been
searching. What are your requirements for perfect?
It has to be quick.
Yep.
It has to be something that I can keep in my fridge or freezer that won't go bad, so I'm not like always having to restock it, because I like to do my grocery shopping in like big bulk.
Yep.
I don't like going to the grocery store every single week, so it has to be something that I can keep in bulk. It has to be easy and quick.
Yep.
It has to be something that's yummy, but mm-hmm. not so yummy that I'll get bored of it. Like, I'll be sick of it easily. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's too flavorful, I'll get sick of it if
okay.
it's such a specific flavor. And it has to be, you know, easy to eat while I'm getting ready.
Yep.
And I found it. It has to be protein heavy.
Yep.
I got there.
All right. Protein?
What I do is I have a big bag of frozen mixed berries and frozen strawberries.
Yeah.
They come together, but the one I'm buying, they're separate. But I like the taste of the strawberries.
Okay.
So I'll pour some berries, frozen berries, into a bowl.
Sure.
I'll defrost that for 3 minutes in the microwave.
Okay.
Then I will add a packet of, you know, that Kodiak brand oatmeal?
Yeah.
Yeah. It has like protein in it.
Yeah.
I get those packs of either the cinnamon apple one or the maple and brown sugar ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I can keep a bunch of those on hand. I can keep my berries frozen. I don't have to worry about fresh berries
mm-hmm.
and going bad. So then I add a packet of my Kodiak oatmeal. It has like 12 grams of protein in it.
Mm-hmm.
I add, I think it's like 3/4 of a cup of water.
Mm-hmm.
Mix that all together with my berries. Mm-hmm. Microwave that for a minute and a half. And it's perfect. It gets like all the juices of the defrosted berries
Ooh.
Really like flavor the oatmeal into this amazing berry flavor. The strawberries especially are just like really incredible. It just tastes like eating fresh berries, you know, with like the thickness of a bit of oatmeal, and not like the mushy mealy oatmeal. It's like the right kind of, it tastes like whole oats instead of like
Ooh.
The Quaker oat stuff gets so like, you know, it's like mushy.
I love the mush.
I'm a big fan of mush.
Anything in mush form. That's why I love curry so much.
I love
a good mush.
I don't like a mush. And it still gets, you know, oatmeal-y, but it's just not so mushy that it's like grits texture.
Oh, yeah. I don't like grits.
This oatmeal is like the perfect texture. I have it every single morning. It's really easy to make. I love it. I look forward to it. And it's like the right portion where I'm not having to like eat so much that I get sick of it. And I'm just like, couldn't be happier about it. It keeps me full for a few hours.
Yeah.
It's just delightful. I'm getting berries. I'm getting my nutrients,
berries,
vitamins.
Yeah. You got lots of vitamins and berries.
Yeah. It's a good way to start the morning. Hot little brekkie.
I'm going to have to try that.
You should. Follow my exact recipe and you won't be disappointed.
3 minutes in the microwave of just berries.
It's blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries. One packet of oatmeal.
Okay.
You got to defrost the berries first. Then
half
add the oatmeal in the water. Mix it all together. Make sure the oats get all wet.
I can do that.
And then microwave for a minute and a half. Don't listen to the package. Do a minute and a half. Then you mix it all together.
That's microwave dependent, though.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. Play around with it. See what you think. But that's pretty much the formula. And I couldn't be happier. I've been eating it for weeks. I hope talking about it doesn't ruin it for me.
Yeah.
But,
I hope it doesn't ruin it for you either.
You know, the thing is, it tastes like berries, and I'm pretty much like always in the mood for berries.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those few foods that I could always have an appetite for, is like strawberries especially. So I can't see it going poorly. You know, it's just like eating hot, fresh berries.
Yeah. I'm doing a call out for breakfast recipes.
Mm.
It's got to be quick. It's got to be yummy and good for you, as in not like a ho-ho or something.
Yeah.
Because a ho-ho is quick and yummy, but it's not like incredibly great for you.
And it should have protein in it. For ADHDers, they recommend that we have a breakfast that has at least 30 grams of protein.
30 grams is really hard to get.
And especially, like, I feel like it would have to be eggs, but because I'm eating breakfast so early in the morning, I don't have an appetite for eggs. So I feel like this oatmeal is like a really good, you know, 12 grams is still decent and it fills me up. And then I like eat eggs later on in the morning, a few hours later, which, you know, you have to be able to be home for that. But that's what I do, because I don't feel like eating eggs at 5:30 in the friggin' morning.
No, it's so hard. And so now you're a early morning person.
Yep.
It's so hard to eat in the morning. I'm really struggling with it because I'm in the same situation where I want to eat so I can be, you know, in the moment and sustained. And who knows when I'll get my next meal, you know?
Mm.
But it's really hard for me to eat so much in the morning. So I'm really struggling to get those protein grammages yep. into my system.
Well, try this. And then you could also add, you know, just like probably a protein shake if you need it or something like that. I don't know. But I feel like this is a good start. And then you could always add on more if you need more food or more protein. But it's pretty easy to eat in the morning, you know?
I'm going to have to give it a go.
Try it out.
Yeah.
All right, Kristen, what did you accomplish?
I am so excited about this. I found the deal of the century, the deal of a lifetime. I found it on Craigslist.
Deals, deals, deals.
Deals, deals, deals.
What'd you get?
I'm addicted to Facebook Marketplace,
yes, you
but
are.
Also Craigslist. I'm always looking, and my niece is horseback riding. She's a horse person.
She's a horse girl?
She's a horse girl.
A horse person? You don't want to make it gender specific?
Well, I don't want to make it gender specific, okay. But...
horse person.
She's a horse person.
All right.
And being a horse person, that's expensive. And
oh, yeah.
My brother's like, we didn't realize it was going to be so expensive.
You think?
Dummy. I know.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God, Nick.
He's, you know, he's a act first, think about it later kind of deal.
Yeah, very impulsive.
So, yeah, he's, oh, man. We could do a whole episode on him, but we won't.
We should.
He would hate it. But he
doesn't listen.
He doesn't listen.
So he'll never know.
His wife might listen, but she'd probably turn it off. She's having some regrets about her marriage.
Yeah. She lives it firsthand. She doesn't need to listen.
Yeah. She doesn't need. Yeah. So they have. So my niece has a horse and the horse is at a barn, but the equipment to care for a horse is quite expensive. So I said I would look for like saddles and bridles and stuff. And she's been like borrowing some barn people's saddles for now, or riding bareback, which you can do. Seems itchy, but so yeah, she's been trying to do that. But then I found this saddle on Craigslist for like a negative amount of money. It was really, really cheap, but it was a nice saddle. Apparently, I don't really know anything about saddles or horse keeping. But she said it was nice and it looked nice, and I got it. And I'm a sucker for a bargain.
You love a deal.
I love a deal. I love Facebook Marketplace, and when you find such a good deal, I'm gonna tell everybody I know about it for the next week. That's all I'm gonna be talking about.
You are your mother's daughter.
I can't get over that. I even tried to call my brother, but I think he was working, to tell him that, one, because I was a little suspicious because it was so cheap. That
was it like $40?
It was like $40. I gave her $60. I felt bad. I was like, this is a good saddle. And
it's like a leather saddle, right?
Yeah, it's like those things, like saddles can go, they can be up to like $1,000.
Jesus.
And we're looking for cheap ones. And I found a really cheap one for like $300. And I sent it to my brother. He's like, no way, we're not paying that much for a saddle. I was like, buddy, you got to get on the saddle market. This is a bargain. But good thing I didn't get it because I got this one. And the lady was really nice. She's just having a move, so she's everything must go, including that saddle.
She was probably psyched that it was going to, you know,
like
a little girl who was getting into it.
We had a bit of a conversation about it, about how she's learning how to horseback ride, and she was really excited that someone was going to, you know, use it and put it to use.
That's really nice.
Yeah, she was very nice. But so now I'm just like, oh, I'm like pumped about this saddle.
Yeah, you're riding that discount high.
I'm gonna try out the saddle. No,
yeah.
I don't want to
go home. Put it over the couch.
Yeah, come here, Christopher. No.
Yeah, there you go. Ride him around.
You know, he would probably let me.
He definitely would.
He would. If it made me happy, he would
do it.
But I won't
do it for fun.
I'd probably break him.
He needs to be broken, like a wild horse.
No, as in like I'd probably break his back.
You know that there's a camp called Camp Crucible in Vermont. It's an adult summer camp for people who are into pony play.
I did not know this.
Yep. It's on an island. So if you're interested, if you're into that thing, pony play.
Pony play.
They wear butt plugs that have horse tails on them. All right. That's enough. I'll say. I'll stop talking about Camp Crucible.
Like the Crucible, like Arthur Miller's Crucible?
I don't know.
It's an interesting choice of name.
Yeah. I don't know why it's called that.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Yeah,
I don't want to. If that's what you like, sure.
Yeah, do your thing.
Do your thing. I'm not going to stop you as long as it's safe and everybody's consenting.
Yep.
Who gives a shit?
Yep.
Let's get some meat out on this table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Set the table.
Set the table.
Bring
yes,
out the
thank
meat.
Thank you. This set the table. Bring out the meat. Here we go. And you're probably like, how do Red Vines and Twizzlers tie in to our episode today?
Why are you talking like
that? I don't know. they do, because we're going to talk about red dye and
red dye
and other artificial food colorings, termed as AFCs. I have a little anecdote.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Last week, I went to the doctor. Woo-woo!
Congrats.
I did, yes, because I had... So, like many places in the United States, the primary care office is a revolving door of people coming and leaving because healthcare is really hard to work in, but especially if you work in primary care. So, in the span of less than a year, I've had, like, 3 different PCPs.
God.
But this one's nice. Sounds like she's staying, I hope. And so we had to, like, reestablish care and go over my asthma meds.
Mm.
So we were discussing that, and then eventually we were discussing ADHD. And I was kind of talking about my goals and my medication goals, which is to eventually maybe not be on medication. I don't know if that's possible. I'd like to manage my symptoms with dietary and behavioral modifications only.
Mm.
Who knows if that's actually going to happen, but maybe. Maybe not. And she asked me if I was cutting red dye out of my diet. And I was like, no, not to my knowledge, should I be? And she was like, yeah, because there's this evidence about that making ADHD hyperactivity worse. And I was like, oh, I've never heard of this before. This is like a new, you know, when you realize you don't know things, you know?
Yeah.
When you realize I feel like I know a lot about ADHD because we have a whole podcast on it, but it's a new thing that I didn't know was a thing that I should be looking into.
People mention it before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, and then, so one, I was like, no, I haven't been cutting red dye out of my diet. And then two, in my head, I was like, I gotta look this up because this sounds like quackery to me. And I realized I have the internet on my fingers and I have a podcast. So here we are. But Grace.
Yes.
Your mom is a nutritionist, or was. She's happily retired.
Yes. Do not try to talk to her about nutrition. She doesn't want to talk about it.
I almost asked if we should, like, get her on the show.
No.
And I feel like that'd be a big no.
Yeah. She can't be bothered. She, like, gets so annoyed when people ask her about it now because she's just, like, so done with it.
I'm retired.
She's retired.
Retired.
Talk to her about pottery.
Okay. Well, not today.
Yeah.
So, but she was a nutritionist. And did she ever, like, bring up food colorings and red dye or artificial food colorings to you? And specifically in the realms of, like, brain development and ADHD?
No, she never talked about red dye or dye specifically. She was pretty against, like, artificial foods in general. Like, processed foods.
Yeah.
So it was more like that. And she didn't talk about ADHD because she didn't know that we had ADHD and that would have been nice. But yeah, I don't remember her ever talking about, like, red dye specifically. It was just kind of, like, all types of, like, super processed foods.
Right. Okay. Cool. So, all right. Well, you might be asking yourself, what is artificial food coloring?
What is artificial food coloring?
Yeah. Well, what are they made out of? And what is going on with them? So they're chemicals, basically, that are made up of mostly petroleum, which is a little concerning. They used to be made out of coal tar.
Oh.
And so there was, like, a whole brand of food colorings that were called coal tar dyes, which is concerning. And those are now banned. And it's just an additive to enhance the color of certain foods. And even in some medications, like the red on Tylenol.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's made with red 40.
Why? I don't understand why.
Well, what else are they going to make it with, you know?
Why do we have to dye it at all?
Well, because it makes it look yummy.
Oh. America. That's so
well,
America.
Well, it's not just America, but... Mostly, yes.
Yeah. of course.
So they're tasteless and odorless, and concerningly so, the use of AFCs, which is artificial food coloring, and that's what I'm going to be calling it for now on. So that's what I'm going to
write it down.
Write it down. Everybody get a pen. AFCs equal artificial food coloring. The use of AFCs has increased 500% in the last 50 years.
Oh, my God.
Which is, I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like I'm like, This whole episode is, that's how I feel. It's like, should I be concerned? I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why I've never, like, I've heard people talk about this before, but I feel like the evidence is so, like, up in the air that I didn't know enough to register as something to care about.
Get ready to have that uneasy feeling again.
Okay, great.
So what are the AFCs? So there's a couple, there's quite a few of them. The ones that the U.S. uses the most, red dye number 3, which is called erythrosine, which is like a cherry red color used in candies, popsicles, and cake decorating gels. Red dye number 40, this is the one you hear about probably the most, include that one in like yellow dye number 5. If people are allergic to dyes, it's usually these two. Which a food allergy to dyes is a real thing, and that sucks because the more I learned about this, the more I realized that food coloring is in everything. So red dye number 40, called Allura Red, is a dark red dye used in sports drinks, candies, condiments, and cereals, so like ketchup. Red dye number 5 is...
yellow dye number 5?
Yellow dye number 5 is tartrazine, which is like a lemon yellow, found in candies, soft drinks, chips, popcorn, and cereal.
Popcorn?
Yes.
Like the butter?
Probably.
Like the movie theater butter?
Probably. Yeah, or even like the bagged popcorn.
Yeah.
The buttery stuff that's in there. It's probably dye.
Yeah.
Yellow dye number 6 is called sunset yellow. It's like an orange yellow used in candy, sauces, baked goods, and preserved fruits. Like cake mixes are a big thing, like the box cake mixes.
Vanilla.
All have yellow dye in them. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. So you have to look at the label if you're trying to avoid that. The blues are a little controversial because I read a lot of things about how maybe they cause cancer, but maybe they don't. We don't know.
Cool.
Blue dye number 1 is called Brilliant Blue. It's a greenish blue dye used in ice cream, canned peas.
What?
Yep. Packaged soups, popsicles, and icings.
What are they making blue? Why canned peas?
It's a green blue. I don't know. I don't make the rules. Yep. Blue dye number 2 is called Indigo Carmine, a royal blue dye found in candy, ice cream, cereal, and snacks. There's also a green called Fast Green that's used in the U.S., but it's banned in the EU.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. So what common foods have AFCs? A lot of things. I put everything, but not everything. But a lot of things. Cereals, cake mix, candy, soup, soda. Anything that says made with artificial food coloring. You'll find dyes on the nutrition label in the ingredients, which is really, really small font. It's a lot of things. I even read that McDonald's, their like strawberry sundae, the syrup, has red dye number 40 in it in the U.S. But if you go to Europe, it's dyed with actual strawberry puree.
Why can't we just do that? Money, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's money. So, yeah, so... excitingly disappointing.
Cool. I remember maybe, I think it was like talking about this in middle school, talking about how red dye 40 was made out of like crushed up beetles. Do you remember people saying that when we were kids?
No, I don't.
I don't know where that came
from. You get a bleeper name out, first of all.
Fine. but you would always say that. You would kind of be snobby
beetles,
about it.
I mean, maybe crushed up fossilized beetles that were turned into petroleum.
Maybe. Maybe that's what she meant.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it's mostly oil.
Great.
Woo! So, yeah, so the use of AFCs have been hotly debated, causing the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S., and the EFSA, which is the European Food and Safety Authority, to ban some, but not all, AFCs. In 2011, the FDA reviewed the effects and potential neurotoxicity of AFCs in children, but decided there was not sufficient evidence to support this. And to this day, many AFCs, like the ones I just listed, are still allowed. I can't help but think this was probably a big lobbying effort by certain companies, but that's...
Yep. Sounds right. From the U.S.
It's a thought. I don't know for sure. But the state of California in 2019 did a comprehensive review to study AFC's potential neurotoxicity, their effect on children, what have you. It's a very long report, but psychcentral.com has some bullet points, which I think are much better.
Mm.
And I'm going to read them to you.
All right, great.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, a relationship exists between food dye exposure and adverse behavioral outcomes for children in the general population.
Mm.
Number two, animal toxicology studies showed changes in brain chemistry and memory in rats given food dyes red number 3, red number 40, yellow number 5, and yellow number 6 over a 6-week period of time.
Mm.
Number 3. AFC effects may be transient, as in they don't last. When you stop them, effects go away. But the aggregate impact on groups like classrooms is significant over time. People in underserved areas without access to good food or nutrition education may be disproportionately affected by AFCs.
Mm.
And the last one. Children have higher exposure to AFCs per pound of body weight. So,
That just makes me think of, like, I'm remembering now, like, why so many of these food studies are, like, advice about, you know, this will help. First of all, saying, like, cure your ADHD is obviously problematic. We know why.
That is problematic.
But also, like, the conversation about these types of things is always, like, just a flat, like, this is bad, you should cut it out, without taking into consideration that people live in, like, food deserts, or people who are, like, low socioeconomic status, like, only kind of have access to these types of foods. So saying just, like, oh, just eat fresh foods and cut out all these dyes is, like, not always accessible to people.
Exactly. So not only do you have to have the means to be able to cook fresh foods, which, you know, some people don't have the time because they're working, like, 3 jobs, or maybe, they live in a food desert, or maybe they just don't have the skills because no one ever taught them how to cook and they have no idea how to cook.
Or they don't have, like, the executive functioning for
it. Right, right,
you know?
Exactly. Or maybe they have a disability where cooking is really difficult for them. So so that's another thing. I think these, I completely agree where I think these blanket statements of, like, food dyes cause ADHD is just incredibly problematic and very, like, clickbaity.
Mm. And then when you think about, you know, autism as well and ADHD, but, like, autism especially can come with that ARFID, which is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, which is where kids can only eat a very, very specific food.
Right.
And oftentimes those are processed foods because unlike fresh foods that are, you never know what you're going to get, the processed foods are always reliable, consistent. Consistency, texture, flavor.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it just makes me think. I was just trying to think of, like, why have I thought this topic is so controversial before? Because based on what you're saying, it does sound like, you know, maybe there are some negative health effects to these things. But yeah, when you think of all these different disabilities, maybe the benefits of eating these types of foods, even though they have these dyes, can kind of outweigh the negatives.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. And some people, you know, have serious allergic reactions to dyes. Usually it's red dye 40 and yellow dye number 5. And that's a serious problem. And it sucks to have an allergy like that where you have to constantly look at labels and make sure that you're not, especially when it's snuck into everything, like the McDonald's ice cream syrup stuff. Like, you know, we need to know what's in our food.
And I feel like if it's a strawberry flavored thing, you would just assume that it was being dyed red from the strawberry.
Right. I wasn't even thinking about red dye. That's like, this is why I think we've talked about this before, how I could never be a vegan because I would accidentally eat something containing some sort of animal byproduct.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So I don't know. Not even thinking about it.
Yeah. And these conversations are always like, they frame it as an individual problem of, like, oh, you just need to cut out this stuff. But it's like, how about we just don't put all this stuff in our food,
right?
And then even the candies and more junk foods we want to eat, you know, even if it's, like, bad for you, quote unquote, it, like, wouldn't be as bad. You know, I feel like it should be a regulated thing, not at the individual level.
Yeah. And a lot of articles were, you know, advice to parents on how to cut out these foods. And they're even, like, even in children's medicine, there's some, like, the labels on the pills or, like, the pink and Pepto-Bismol, like, that's all dye.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, my gosh. Like,
yeah, so
how do you avoid it?
Yeah. Individuals can only take so much responsibility before it's like, okay, well, this is in kind of like everything.
It's in everything.
So how about stop putting it in everything?
Mm-hmm. So going back to the 1970s, this is where this kind of food dye and it causes ADHD hyperactivity started to develop. Mm. There's a pediatric allergist named Dr. Benjamin Feingold.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
F-E-I-N-G-O-L-D. Feingold.
Yeah. Like Feingold Dental.
Oh, that was Remember your T-ball team.
Yep, yeah. It was one of my T-ball teams.
But this is, we're not talking about T-ball. We're talking about food coloring.
Yep.
So this guy studied hyperactivity in children who were given AFCs. He found that children given AFCs were noticed among like teachers and parents to have increased hyperactivity and irritability. He gained a lot of popularity with parents and even made this thing called the Feingold diet that eliminated all the AFCs and a preservative he also thought was linked to hyperactivity called sodium benzoate.
Mm.
His results have never been reproduced.
Cool.
Cool.
A reliable right? study.
Yep. And most in the medical and pharmaceutical communities have kind of dismissed his findings. Mm.
Do you know how he was studying it? Like, what was he studying it in? Just giving them shots of
I think he was giving them, he was giving them, he would put them on a diet, like his Feingold diet or something. And then he would give one group of children like a drink or something with AFCs.
Mm.
And then he would get reports back from like the parents or the teachers being like, yeah, they're more hyperactive or no, they're not hyperactive.
I feel like that also leads to a lot of biases.
Oh,
like when you tell
we're gonna
teachers,
talk okay. about it. We are going to talk about
I'm
it.
Sure you are.
Yes. So that happened in the 70s. But like by the time like the medicine and pharmacy communities were like, hey, like we're having trouble repeating these results. Like maybe this isn't right. His kind of discovery already took off. He became very popular with parents and everybody was trying to, not everybody, but a lot of people were trying to, especially in the ADHD community, were trying to get rid of food dyes.
So annoying how that happens. Like with the vaccines cause autism
yeah.
thing, that was bunk from the very beginning and it just took off.
That one is so disappointing to me because vaccines save lives.
So many lives.
And I'm going to stop
because yeah.
we're going to get on a different. Yeah, it's like I'm disappointed in the human race when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah, it's wrong and offensive for so many different reasons.
So
screw you, Jenny McCarthy.
I can't even.
All right. Sorry for bringing it up.
I'm sorry.
I also get mad about it.
I get really upset about it.
Yeah.
So after Feingold came out with his discovery, you know, it kind of took off with parents and then they're like, oh, we're having trouble reproducing the results. But there have been other studies that have found correlations between AFCs and hyperactivity. So one study found a dose-dependent correlation, which means the more AFCs they were given to children, the more they found this result. So a dose-dependent correlation between children receiving yellow dye number 5 and hyperactivity noticed by teachers and parents.
Mm.
So what they did is they had two different sets of kids. I think both of them got a drink in the afternoon or something. And one group of kids, the drink was just a regular drink. And the other group had a certain amount of yellow dye number 5. And then they monitored the children's behavior and saw whether or not they were more hyperactive or less hyperactive. And then they did it. They found that the more yellow dye they gave, the more hyperactive those kids were.
Hmm.
So dose dependent. Another study found another dose dependent increase with zinc excretion in the urine in children who consumed AFCs. And then those children were found to have an increased hyperactivity consuming AFCs. So they found the hyperactivity correlated with the zinc excretion.
Hmm.
And, you know, the conclusion to that was like, we found it.
Means something. Maybe.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of these studies were like. We found this. Like,
what do you think?
What do you think? Another study, this was interesting. They showed different gene expressions and they studied different gene expressions in children. Another study showed different gene expressions in children who were found to have more hyperactivity, suggesting that some children may be more sensitive to AFCs than others based on their genetic makeup. And one of the genes they studied was the DAT1 gene. And if you go back all the way back to our Bowling for Dopamine, that's one of the genes. So they were thinking, but just one. And they showed, so kids who had more hyperactivity were expressing these genes. And based on that, they thought that maybe the kids who had a different expression of a certain gene might be more susceptible to AFCs and therefore be more hyperactive after receiving the AFC. I think that was a really bad way of explaining that study.
I think it was fine.
Luckily, it's listed in the resources.
Yeah, so read it yourself.
So what do we think? I think there is a lot of studies. There's a lot of things to consider. This whole episode, I'm just kind of like,
Yeah, it seems like you'd think there would be more concrete evidence if this were truly
concrete.
Like a big deal, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought. I think from what I read, I don't think there's concrete evidence that AFCs cause hyperactivity. I think the correlation between AFC and ADHD is, there's just really not enough. And a lot of these studies were looking at children as a whole and not delineating between ADHD and non-ADHD. You know, they're just looking at kids.
Plus, they probably weren't taking, like, autism into account,
right?
You know?
Right. All these studies were, a lot of them were from the 1990s. So, yeah, they weren't taking autism into account. And since the 1990s, we've really redefined the way we see, diagnose, treat, and manage ADHD. So it would be interesting to have another study in present day looking at kids' hyperactivity with AFCs now. But I think it's also going to be incredibly difficult. You know, in the last 50 years, the use of AFCs have gone up 500%. So it's going to be really hard to kind of have like a good study where you have one group that doesn't have any AFCs and one that has some. It's it would be hard to regulate that. I think the other issue is that a lot of these studies were based on subjective data, basically teachers and parents reporting increased hyperactivity in the subjects, which were the children. It's hard to, you know, it's not numbers. And I know studies in psychiatry, it's always difficult because a lot of the findings are subjective. Like, how are you feeling? Is your depression better? Are your anxiety symptoms better on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, there's, it's hard to have, like, it's not like you're measuring blood pressure where you're like, we can see based on your numbers that this is going down.
And we know about ADHD, what is it, you know, what is one of the biggest things for us is that inconsistency. So maybe you're just having a tough ADHD day as it is, you know, or maybe you're having a really good ADHD day.
Exactly. I think the dose-dependent studies were, I think that's pretty solid evidence, you know, that where you find like, you know, we've increased this and their hyperactivity increase. I think that's really interesting that they found that. I don't want to say solid evidence, but it is a very interesting finding that the more AFCs, the more hyperactivity. But I also do think it's concerning that these are all also like perceived subjective data. So it's the teachers and the parents who are recording and monitoring, and there's no input. And I know it's hard to get input from children, but it wouldn't it be interesting if they did a study on adults. And so the adults could report back like, yes, my symptoms are worse, my symptoms are better, my hyperactivity is out of control, it's good today,
like my brain fog, you're right,
and
yeah,
all these other things,
those should be done on adults, not kids. I think self-reporting would be
and
more
I think
valid.
At the time, you know, in the 90s, didn't they, this was the time where they're like, oh, people grow out of ADHD. So that's
and girls
probably
don't
why
have
they,
it.
Yeah, girls don't have it.
Black people don't have it.
Yeah.
Weird.
So weird.
Yeah.
And then eventually you just grow out of it.
Yep. That's how brains work.
Yep. So so it would be nice to have another study, maybe on adults, maybe on children too, with, you know, this new definition of ADHD, or even if we're just studying hyperactivity, maybe a new study to one, it's always good to, for checks and balances to kind of get the same results as past peers.
Yep.
But also, I just don't know if the evidence is there to say, like, this cause, there's a correlation, but no causation in my mind. But I don't want to say that there isn't, because there probably could be.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it causes ADHD, obviously, because we know you're born with that. But I could see it would make sense that a petroleum-based additive would, like,
maybe would influence your behavior.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
I agree. I don't think we have concrete data, but I also don't want to say that this is all quackery.
Yeah. I think
it sounds like quackery.
Yeah.
But then when you look at the studies, you're like, well, there might be something behind this.
Yeah, it sounds like there is some validity to it. It's kind of confusing that they can't, like, recreate these same, you know, results from the studies. And yeah,
well, that was the guy from the 70s, you know.
And also, I think there are so many bad things that, especially in the U.S., that they allow into our food, like lead in our cinnamon.
Apparently.
Don't eat cinnamon applesauce, guys, in the U.S., because there's lead in that cinnamon. So I think...
Well, there's the FDA has a minimal amount of allowable lead, right?
Yep.
Which I feel like it should be zero, but it's not.
It should be zero.
It is not zero.
No need to eat paint chips because you can have it right in your applesauce. Yeah. But I just feel like I could see this being one of, like, many things that just aren't great for us. But also we do need to consider, you know, that a lot of people don't have access to foods that don't have these things because it's in everything,
said.
And, you know, it really is, you know, for neurodivergent people, it's so hard for us to find things that we can eat, that we will eat, that we can eat consistently, that I would say if you do struggle with finding things that you eat, I don't know. I don't know if it would be worth cutting this stuff. Like, I don't know if the negative sides are worth cutting out these few things that you can eat or that your child can eat, you know? I don't think it's like the make it or break it of they won't have ADHD if you cut the red dye out, you know?
If a new study comes out that has, you know, here's some solid, concrete, dose-dependent evidence that this specific chemical is causing A, B, and C, and we can monitor that this is a bad thing that happens over time, then, yeah, we should, you know, write to the FDA and be like, please relook into this. But right now, I agree. I think, will I cut out red dye from my diet? Probably not. I think probably not.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a big ask.
Yeah. Like, in an ideal world, I'd prefer to not have this in our food. But am I going to stop eating Twizzlers? No.
Yeah. I think the push to just eat more whole foods in general is nice. But yeah, there's a lot of barriers to that.
Yep.
I think, why has the use of AFCs gone up 500%? I don't know. And is that concerning? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It shouldn't be an individual responsibility. Yeah. When those foods are what a lot of people, like, only have access to.
Right.
It should be like, don't put this in our food to begin with.
Right,
so we don't have to, like, make all these choices.
Exactly.
And I do feel like this kind of research can very quickly lead you down the kind of right-wing rabbit hole of, you know, the crunchy granola, hippy-dippy right-wing white supremacy.
Well, there's a fine line between, like, hey, maybe you shouldn't, like, hey, like, try and eat more whole foods because there's a lot of additives in processed foods and we're not really sure what they do to living in the woods on a farm and like the fundy community and
like
not trusting big pharma
or which
you know, no one really trusts big pharma, but, like, not trusting the modern medical community and modern pharmaceuticals and, you know, fake news and all of that. Yeah. I think there's
and, like,
a slippery
slope. And, like,
the
stuff causes ADHD.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's a very, like, clickbait title, like, red dye causes ADHD. It doesn't. There's no evidence against, no. There's no evidence saying that.
Like you said, it could maybe exacerbate some of your symptoms or traits and behaviors, but, so, you know, as can a lot of other things, sugar, protein,
blah. And that was the other thing she said, a low sugar diet. And I was like,
that's not going to happen.
In your dreams, lady.
Well, also, all right, I need to cover this in a future episode, but there is some evidence showing that the autistic brain requires more glucose, I think, or glucosamine than allistic brains. I'm going to cover that in a future episode.
That sounds like a good new episode.
Candy could potentially be a self-medicating treatment, you know?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's also like you're getting that dopamine. So if you're looking for a dopamine fix, you know, there's a lot of different things. And yeah, this episode wasn't written to convince you to cut out all AFCs from your diet and to like go on a whole food diet. And it is generally hard to do that, especially in the U.S. I think it's an interesting thing that kind of popped up in my daily life that I just wanted to share and do some research about to make people more aware of like what they're consuming, whether they can help it or not. I wrote this episode to make people more aware of what they were consuming and to hopefully kind of shed some light on a subject that with that like questionable evidence. I don't think I have a strong opinion about this.
Yeah.
And
same.
I think we usually are people who have strong opinions about most things.
Yeah. I feel kind of mild about this.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Like, yeah, I think there's some validity to it, but
I think it's nice to know where your food comes from and what it's made up of, especially if there's a bunch of chemicals in it. But it's not going to, I'm not going to switch from Fruit Loops to Fruity Cheerios.
No.
Because Fruit Loops taste better because there's more sugar in them.
Yeah, they just do. And if, you know, your safety food has one of these dyes, I don't know if that's worth it to, you know,
right,
be
unless you have like an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
That's.
But and if it's between eating this dye or like not eating at all and not feeding yourself, you know, fed is best, I would say.
And yeah, if evidence comes out that shows more concrete stuff about which way or what way things are going, then maybe we'll have an update to this episode. But for now, I'm going to eat Twizzlers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like it. And I'm going to eat my hot tamales. And I'm going to choke down some Swedish fish. Probably whole because I don't chew them enough.
Yep.
That being said, it is good to know how to learn a nutrition label. I think they're purposely deceiving.
Yep.
You got to look at the serving sizes and how many, especially like chips or something. Or if you get those little single packs of the 100 calorie pack. Remember those things?
Snackwells.
Yeah, the Snackwells. Sometimes one little pack that's definitely meant to be individual size, the nutrition label, it's like two per pack, you know? So you're eating double. There's always the ingredient list. The ingredients that are towards the top of the ingredient list are what the food is most made up of. Towards the bottom, the least made up of. So if like red dye number 40 is like the third thing on the ingredient list, that thing is like mostly red dye. If it's way towards the bottom, then it's, you know, only a little bit. There's a link in the show notes. I read the thing. I learned some things. But I think it's important that people learn how to read a nutrition label. It's something you don't learn in school. I didn't learn that in school. Did you?
No.
I learned it when I took a nutrition class in college.
Yeah, I learned it from my mom.
Yeah, well, not all our moms are nutritionists.
And be thankful for that. I have a lot of issues with my relationship with food. So.
But let me know what you think. Or have you cut out red dyes? Do you live in a different country and you didn't know that the U.S. is just like chomping on red dye number 40?
Yeah, are you horrified
by
this?
Are you horrified? Do you know how to read a nutrition label? Do you have other nutrition advice that maybe we should be following or different nutrition subjects that you want us to cover? Let us know.
Yeah, if anyone out there has, you know, eliminated these dyes from their diet and they have noticed a difference, let us know. Because I'm, you know, I'm open to the thought of
it. Absolutely. Yeah. If someone's like, listen, I cut out all of the things, yellow dye number 5, red dye 40, all the other ones. Yeah. And I feel better and my brain works better in A, B, and C. I want to know about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Any other thoughts, Grace?
No, I think that was a good episode. I think you and I are on the same page. It was well put together. Nice job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it was
interesting.
A weird thing. I actually had a different subject in mind for today's episode, but this came up in my personal life and I was like, I shall research this.
You got to jump on those opportunities.
Yeah. Now when I go back to see her, what do I say? Like, You're full of shit. No,
you
I think
say the evidence is kind of inconclusive.
It's inconclusive. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to say.
But as a whole, petroleum probably isn't great for us to ingest, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's like.
At least they got rid of the coal tar dyes.
Yeah, thank God. What an improvement.
We've done something right.
Yep. From coal tar dyes to petroleum.
Yep. Yep. But if you liked this episode and you were like, how do I get more?
Please.
You can email us at Weirds of a Feather. You can join our Facebook group, Weirds of a Feather. You can find us on Instagram, on TikTok. If you want to donate to us, we are on ko-fi.com and then a slash Weirds of a Feather. You can buy us a little cup of coffee.
Yeah, proverbial cup of
proverbial
coffee.
Proverbial cup of coffee.
We're not actually buying coffee. I don't even drink coffee.
You don't even drink coffee. Yeah, you're a yerba mate for Grace and a coffee for me. And everything goes back to the podcast because we're in the red.
it pays for our sound editing.
Yeah, it pays for our sound editing.
Thank you to everyone who has donated and continues to donate. That is really a wonderful big help. We really, really appreciate it.
You
guys
are
the best.
Yeah.
All right.
And yeah, are you ready for our bod?
Yeah.
I want your bod.
Nice bod.
This is another bird that I hate.
Great. One of
so,
many.
I'm excited to talk about it.
You got
it.
Beef with a lot of birds.
I got beef with birds.
You got bird beef.
I got bird beef. Bird beef. I just like don't have a lot of experience with birds.
I love a bird.
This is a bird I have a bad experience with because it attacked me in Florida and I don't like it. It's also gross looking. And I'm terrified of it.
That's subjective, but okay.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's fact. Called the pelican. Have you heard of it?
I love a pelican.
Yeah, I think most people know what a pelican is. But if not, they're like a big white flying bird. One of the largest flying birds in the world.
Mm.
They are big, mean, and ugly, which is a
subjective.
Fact. With a big, dumb bill with a big, dumb pouch.
It's a normal pouch.
It's big and dumb.
It's not dumb.
It's the worst. It's closely related to another enemy of mine, the shoebill stork.
I knew it.
They're like super related.
Are they?
Cousins.
Cousins?
Yeah. And it makes sense
makes
to
sense.
Me.
You hate that whole family.
Makes
sense. You hate the whole family.
I don't, the whole stork family. I've got beef. It's probably why it attacked me. It probably heard the shoebill stork episode and was like, this girl.
This motherfucker.
Yeah. Fossil evidence shows that pelicans have been around for over 36 million years.
Whoa.
Which is crazy.
That makes sense. They look like dinosaurs.
They look like dinosaurs. And guess what? They sound like dinosaurs. Let's get into it. Right.
Oh, can I share my pelican fun fact?
That's
sure. Really actually very sad.
Yeah.
Pelicans go blind from diving into the water to find their fish. And then they die because they're blind and they can't see their fish anymore and they starve to death. So
that is really sad.
Doesn't that give you a little more empathy for the pelican?
No.
They, like, fuck their eyes up from hitting the water so hard.
Well, they shouldn't hit the water so hard.
Well, they do. That's just how they're built. It's not a very good design.
Apparently it's good enough because they've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Wish it wasn't like that.
You wish they died? You wish they were dead?
I don't like them. They're too mean.
Just stay away from them.
Well,
you were in their territory.
I wasn't in their territory. I was trying to feed a fish. They were in my territory.
You were in their territory.
No, they
were. Who was there first?
The fish.
The pelicans.
The fish.
Yeah, the fish and the pelicans.
The fish was first.
You're the one interrupting the whole system. They got a system.
No, it was the place in Florida had a system. The pelicans, and they have all these signs like, beware the pelicans. And I was like, man, how bad are these pelicans? Bad.
Should have read the sign.
I read the sign.
You didn't
I was
listen
not
to it.
Prepared.
You
they
were
need
not aware of the
more
pelicans.
More signage being like, you think they're bad. They're so much worse.
I think you just didn't heed the warnings.
I heeded all warnings. I almost cried. It was scary. Because you're like, basically, I was trying to feed a fish. You go to this place in Florida to feed these big dinosaur fish.
Hmm.
All I wanted to do was feed a fish. I also saw a manatee. That was very exciting.
Aww.
You feed the fish, but you're on these like narrow, rickety docks, and then you're surrounded by pelicans because the pelicans have figured out that if you scare a human, they may drop your fish.
Smart.
And they are so scared. They'll like snap at you. They'll bite your ankles and then they'll dive bomb you. And that's what happened.
Sounds like good strategy on their part.
Well, yeah. And I hate it. I hated everything about it.
It worked.
They
don't care.
Hate pelicans.
They hate me. They hate you.
And
so.
I have this like fear since childhood of being like eaten by one and like
swallowed
being
up.
In their pouch. Like, I don't want to be in their pouch.
What? You won't be.
I know, but like, what happens if I am in there? Like, how do I get out? What if you can't get out?
Like, it's punch your way out.
Terrifying.
You have a lot of irrational fears of animals, like a lot of them.
I don't like the fear of the unknown, and I don't know how to interact with a pelican.
You give it fish.
Well,
probably.
I want to be.
I think if you gave it a fish, it would like you. You could be friends.
It would probably snap at me for more fish. What if I run out of fish?
Then you're screwed. I don't know what to tell you.
That's what happened. I ran out of fish and they got real snappy. And that's when they started dive bombing. And I was like, I got to get out of here. And I did.
All right.
I waited on the shore.
Good.
Let's hear this pelican.
All right. What was that? Pretty good. Sounds like a pig, kind of.
It sounds
like a snurfling pig.
Yeah. And then a puppy.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a big dumb bird.
Oh, subjective. All right.
Oh, that was a really bad one.
That was bad.
Okay, see ya. Hey, bye.